most influential figures in 20th century American music has died, Chet Atkins helped change the sound of country music in the 1950s, taking it to millions of people who might not have been willing to listen to it before. In doing so, he also changed pop music. His guitar playing influenced just about every guitar player, pop or country, who's come along since. NPR's Tom Cole has this appreciation.
The first interview I ever did, more than 20 years ago, was with Chet Atkins. I was very nervous, and he was very gracious, but also very careful about his hands. He wore white gloves and shook hands very gently. He was quiet, straightforward, every bit the embodiment of his nickname and the name of one of his signature tunes, Country Gentleman. Captures the Atkins guitar style perfectly. He used his thumb to produce a syncopated bass. With three fingers, he played the melody. It was different. With the exception of Merle Travis, most of the other country players at the time used picks. Atkins found his style in isolation and abject poverty on the family farm in rural Tennessee.
My parents separated when I was a kid, and I had a stepfather that played a little finger-style guitar. My folks, they were still playing with a toothbrush handle that they would wrap around their thumb, heat it up with hot water and wrap it around your thumb and make a thumb pick and play with your fingers. So that's what I grew up with. And I went to work with musicians when I was about 17, and I had to fight a lot of verbal battles because everybody made fun of my thumb pick and my finger picking.
Chet Atkins' style influenced guitarists around the world. Wade Jessen is director of country charts at the Nashville office of Billboard magazine.
Chet influenced the guitar players in the Beatles. He influenced people like Duane Eddy, The Ventures, George Benson. I mean, Chet influenced every guitar player that ever made it through Nashville after about 1950.
Chet Atkins settled in Nashville about a year earlier. He was signed to RCA Records by Steve Sholes, working mostly as a backup musician, helping Sholes book sessions and cutting some solo sides. Chet Atkins scored several hits. Then Steve Sholes scored a major coup when he signed Elvis Presley to RCA. Soon he was too busy to produce many of the country artists, and Atkins got the job.
At first, I was afraid to spend any money and played my cards too close to my vest. So finally, Don Gibson came in for a session one day, and I decided to hire a few more musicians, experiment a little, use a bass drum beat, which had never been mic'd before that I know of on a country or pop record, and we did a song that he wrote called Oh Lonesome Me, which was a smash.
Everybody's going out and having fun. I'm just a fool for staying home and having none. I can't get over how she set me free.
Chet Atkins' key to success in the studio was simple. Get to know a song, keep the public in mind, and keep your ears open.
I like great melodies, and I don't care where they come from. I've never been a musical bigot, and we certainly had to put up with a lot of that when I first got into business, because back in the 40s when I started, a lot of people didn't think it was socially acceptable to be a country music fan. So that hurt us for a long time, and then when we started making a lot of money, it became acceptable all of a sudden. If you make money, you're all right.
And Chet Atkins made money for RCA at a time when country music was in the dumper. But he was also criticized for using horns, crooning backup singers, and strings. Billboard's Wade Jessen.
Rock and roll had just had a big impact on Nashville. Country records and country artists were hurting severely financially, from a touring standpoint and from the sale of recorded music. And Chet was often quoted about how it was really to keep jobs and to keep the folks in Nashville who were making livings as musicians in work to feed their families.
Came to be called the Nashville Sound, and Chet Atkins is credited with, or accused of, softening country's edges and taking it uptown. Atkins does not apologize.
Since I got out of it, country music has moved so far uptown, or moved in the pop area so much, that I don't think that any apologies are in order from me at this time.
Besides, Chet Atkins wanted to reach an audience, not just because, as he said, he never wanted to go back to the poverty in which he grew up, but also perhaps because the seemingly shy man wanted to talk to people.
Play is talking. It's just talking through your fingers. And Chet, he was just great at it.
Guitarist and inventor Les Paul met Atkins in the late 1940s. They became friends and recorded two albums together.
One of the great traits about Chet is he wanted to make the people happy. He was trained with the Grand Ole Opry and everything around it in country. And Chet was a great, great showman and a great performer. And he knew where everything should be.
In other words, not a note out of place. And it's for his playing that Chet Atkins wanted to be remembered.
I loved the sound of a finger picking, and I decided to stick with it because it was different from anything anyone else was doing. And now everybody plays with their fingers. I hope I don't sound too egotistical when I say that, but I'm sure I taught this country to play finger-style guitar because I go out and play shows all the time, and I see all these people that say, I've learned to play from your records, and I'm proud of that. I want to be remembered as an innovator, and when people tell me those things, it's a sign that maybe that will happen after I'm gone.
And it will. My dad, who's not a country music fan, said he was one of the great ones. Chet Atkins died Saturday after a long fight with cancer. He was 77 years old. Tom Cole, NPR News, Washington.